Thank you for joining the Diagnostic Imaging Podcast. I am Jeff Hall, Senior Editor for Diagnostic Imaging. I am pleased to be joined by Mina Makary and Richard Duzak. Dr. Makary is on the faculty of the Ohio State University College of Medicine and serves as the Director of Scholarly Activity and Research in the Department of Radiology. He is board certified in interventional radiology and diagnostic radiology. Dr. Duzak is a professor and vice chair of radiology for health policy and practice in the Department of Radiology and Imaging Sciences at Emory University. Dr. Duzak was recently recognized by the Academy for Radiology and Biomedical Imaging Research with its Distinguished Investigator Award. Today, we'll be talking about emerging trends of the radiology workforce. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff, for having us.
Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate the invitation as well.
So I guess the first question I have, the U.S. population 65 and older is projected to grow by 42.4% between 2019 and 2034, according to a 2021 report by the American Association of Medical Colleges. Following in line with that trend, more than 2 out of 5 currently practicing physicians will be 65 and older within the next decade. More specifically, a 2019 ACR Bulletin article noted that 1/3 of practicing radiologists were 55 and older. From your perspective, what are some possible strategies to address this potential shortage of radiologists amid an increased demand for healthcare and diagnostic imaging that would accompany the overall graying of the population?
Who do you want to start, Jeff?
You guys tell me.
Yeah, I'm glad to. If you don't have a strong preference, and certainly Amin and I can back and forth this. You're asking a question that is much broader, transcending radiology, and really, you know, getting into some broad existential things we as a society need to be thinking about. The issues you outlined for radiology are not unique to us as a specialty. The population's growing, and I think you could have a similar podcast like this with surgeons or internists or other folks. But, you know, specifically thinking about just reacting to a few of the pieces here is, number one, I think from a radiology supply versus demand perspective, I think we need to be very deliberate and thoughtful about the radiology pipeline. How can we make radiology continue to be an attractive specialty for medical students, getting more engaged earlier in medical student education, getting people interested so that we can get not only the cream of the crop, but ideally with better GME funding, a larger influx of radiologists down the road. I think as well on the outside of that, you know, the pipeline is both ingress and egress as well. You know, is there a way to keep our senior radiologists more engaged? I think as our workloads have gone up and up, I know a number of colleagues that have basically said, you know what, I've got my retirement war chest and I'm just checking out. Is there a way of groups being more nimble and saying, you know, hey, maybe we can sort of get you on a part-time basis, or bringing you in sort of just doing plain films or things that are within your comfort zone, essentially to be a pop-off for us. So I think our groups need to get out of this one size fits all. Everybody's a partner. Everybody needs to do an equal number of shifts. And I think there's some also broader pieces as well, is as the demand for imaging is increasing, are there opportunities, as we're all seeing increased injudicious use of imaging, to start saying, you know, does everybody need to have, you know, 7 body parts imaged coming through the emergency department? Those are broader policy, medical, legal discussions as well. But I think the demand side of the equation, it has to be considered as well as the supply side.
I agree. So basically, you know, I think a multifaceted approach is what is needed in terms of practical strategies. You know, I think on the supply side, as Rich had mentioned here, you know, we need to increase our pipeline. The number of radiology residency spots has been relatively stable and only slowly increased over the recent years. And this is something that we need to address. And even taking a step back, increasing medical student awareness of our specialty is really the cornerstone of this approach, because medical students often have very little exposure to radiology as a specialty in medical school. You know, one of the recent studies has showed that only 35% had exposure or even completed radiology rotation by graduation. So I think, you know, just increasing interest of our in our specialty and increasing the pipeline overall. And then in addition to that, I agree regarding the utilization approach, you know, supply and demand. We need to be more judicious and more evidence-based and more, you know, be the gatekeepers for, you know, appropriateness of imaging. But even beyond that, improving efficiency of the existing resources. So, you know, as radiologists, we work very hard, and we've dealt with this before with the advent of PACS, where we gained improvements in efficiency. And I'm very optimistic about the newer applications in artificial intelligence. I think a lot of these in the future will provide some augmented tools that would help us be more effective and more efficient, more productive as radiologists. And you know, looking towards the future, I think these would be you know, good practical strategies to address that.
Now, one would think that increased use of non-physician radiology providers, NPRPs, may help alleviate the load for radiologists and possibly increase efficiency. Yet there seems to be a fair amount of ambivalence in the profession about the role of NPRPs. In a 2021 ACR membership survey about the role of NPRPs, which had over 4,000 respondents, 43% said they were, quote, opposed to having any NPRPs in the practice of radiology, end quote. But 40% said, quote, NPRPs play an important role in the practice of radiology, end quote. Then over half of folks in the ACR poll said they utilized NPRPs in their practice. And that then 55% agreed strongly or somewhat that NPRPs are a threat to the quality of patient care in radiology, end quote. Now, from your perspective, what are some of the factors that contribute to these mixed perceptions about NPRPs?
Jeff, you know, I'm glad to take first crack. You know, the survey you mentioned, full disclosure, I do serve on the Board of Chancellors of the American College of Radiology. I am Rich Duzak speaking for Rich Duzak today, and not on behalf of the college. I was involved in the creation and analysis of that survey. And, you know, we only obviously know what people, how people responded. The whys require some speculation. And I think this is partly speculatory. But I think one thing that is obvious from this survey is that the ACRS members, and the ACR represents a, you know, a large majority of practicing radiologists. So I think you could probably say our specialty is deeply divided over the role of NPRPs. And this remains a matter of ongoing, you know, debate within the ACR, as well as in a lot of our member practices. I think there are a lot of individuals, and certainly our practice here at Emory employs NPs and PAs as you know, part of our physician-led teams, and that's really critical for us. That's been the situation in my private practices. And I think a lot of this boils down to not as much the role of those folks in a physician-led team, but a broader fear that NPRPs will go down the pathway of the CRNAs from our anesthesiology colleagues and then start pushing into autonomous practice, pushing them out of work. And we're now hearing stories of some hospitals that are essentially firing their radiology, or I'm sorry, anesthesiology groups and hiring CRNA groups. You know, and you know, for routine cases that probably works okay, but when, you know, the proverbial stuff hits the fan, that's where those additional years of training really come into play. I think there's a number of you know, features here. Some people have really good experience with their NPRPs. Practices like my former private practice and my current academic practice, you know, we put our NPRPs through very rigorous training, very narrow scopes of practice. you know, really instill upon them, you are an extender of me and working closely with me and for me. And there's a lot of Wild West practices out there, however, who just hire these folks and send them to a hospital. And my guess is if we were able to tease that out of some of the sample, I think a lot of the angst, if you will, with those individuals has been when these folks are practicing more autonomously. Clearly a discussion that is going to continue for many years moving into the future.
This is definitely a very complex issue, Jeff. And I'm also speaking for myself, you know, not on behalf of the college or any other radiological association or even my employer. But I think, in my opinion, it really comes down to their exact role, right? So, you know, I think that, in my opinion, the optimal role of non-physician radiology providers is to provide support to radiologists and contribute to the non-interpretive clinical care, as Dr. Duzek mentioned here. I think with regards to imaging interpretation, even the College of Radiology, American College of Radiology, recognizes that radiologists are uniquely trained and qualified, even among physicians, to provide urologic care. And the college, you know, actively opposes supervision or interpretation of radiological exams or procedures by non-physician providers. Now, the ACR does endorse the role and training of RAAs, the registered radiology assistants. But again, that doesn't include the imaging supervision or interpretation. I'm not speaking on the behalf of the college or anybody else, but I do, you know, in my practice, I do support MPs, and they help, you know, contribute to our practice in valuable ways. You know, for example, you know, to give you an example as well from our practice. So in an area of interventional radiology, they can be valuable members by helping with patient assessments, pre-procedural care, pre-procedural, you know, history and physicals, things like that, you know, without necessarily being part of the imaging interpretation. And I think this is the controversial issue, or this is the threat or the fear that most radiologists have on the back of their mind. And it's not necessarily, it's the fear of the encroachment itself, but also it's for the patient care, because the quality of radiology interpretation, you know, it does require a lot of training for radiologists to achieve that unique training and qualification. And, you know, blurring the lines can be, you know, can happen over time. But I think, you know, most radiologists would consider it in different ways. But at the end of the day, it's the exact role is what the debate is about.
Now, one of the findings from that ACR membership survey noted that approximately 2/3 of residents and fellows polled, and 51% of those in practice 9 years or less, were opposed to having MPRPs in radiology. Now, do you think this is largely due to a lack of knowledge of the roles of MPRPs and or experience working with MPRPs? Or are there other factors at play here? In your view, what are the possible implications of these perceptions from younger radiologists and those just getting into the field?
Yeah, if you're okay with the order, I'll take first crack and let Mina continue to do cleanup on these. So, you know, I recognize as somebody who is, you know, a generation ahead of Dr. Macri here, he's going to have a lot more insight into what his peers think about this. You're asking an older guy what younger folks are thinking, and that's always dangerous a little bit. But I think it is worth reflecting if you look at the survey, and it is out there, I believe, in the public domain as well, is that the survey participation among younger radiologists was very, very engaging. And the amount of passion is very engaging. It is fascinating. I mean, there are some folks, and I don't know the answer here, and it may be an all of the above situation, but there have been some folks in the polarized discussions, if you follow the social media, that are sort of saying, oh, you know, you youngsters, and they're not being that demeaning. I'm just paraphrasing for, a little bit of animation here. You know, you don't understand what these folks do in your practice. You know, maybe they don't. And that may be it. Although we do right now have a manuscript that's under peer review, and hopefully we'll get diagnostic imaging to cover it when it comes out. Looking at the characteristics of radiology practices that are employing PAs and NPs who you can identify from Medicare claims. And it's interesting, if your practice demographics have older radiologists, you're less likely to hire these individuals. If you have younger radiologists, you're more likely. So, you know, these folks may actually be more in the trenches and seeing what's going on out there in real life. But I think the reality is if you ask five different younger radiologists, you're probably going to get five different stories as well. And again, I think it calls for us really, really understanding what's going on at our practice level, knowing there's a lot of heterogeneity of our practices, rather than just making some blank statements. And I think the jury is still out there.
I totally agree with this sentiment. You know, I think it's basically a, like I said, it's a tough, it's a pretty complex issue. And the House of Radiology is definitely divided on this. I think, I don't think it's necessarily misconceptions. I think it's just different levels of awareness of the situation and the idea of role. And I think a lot of us have, you know, worked with middle, advanced practice providers or physician assistants or nurse practitioners or other levels throughout our training, whether it's in radiology or in medical school or other services. And, you know, different specialties deal with this in different ways. You know, in some areas they're more integrated and some they're less. As Dr. Duzek mentioned, you know, in our colleagues in anesthesia, there was, you know, their role is a little bit controversial and there's some issues with how that kind of played out. I think in radiology, like anything, you know, it just depends on how it's handled and how it's approached. And I think we really need to understand this better. I think these studies and this specific survey, it shows the perceptions, but we really want to know why. And I think that that ought to be studied in depth. And we need to have a higher level national strategy on how to address that in a productive way for the benefit of our specialty, for sure.
Now, another topic, physician burnout appears to be a key factor in the radiology field as well. In an AJR article published this month, Jeffrey Chick out of the University of Washington cited statistics that between 54 to 72% of diagnostic radiologists and interventional radiologists have reported symptoms of burnout. From your perspective, how widespread is burnout in the profession, and what kind of impact do you see burnout having now and in the future for radiologists?
Jeff, speaking from the perspective of, you know, part of our executive team here in an academic department and also, you know, wearing a professional society leadership role, burnout is, it's endemic. It is out there. It is real. And sort of like your first question, radiology, this is not a radiology specific issue. You know, throughout all of the House of Medicine, we have a convergence of a number of things of, you know, these sort of systemic death, if you will, of a thousand cuts of, you know, all of our modules we need to take. And, you know, the easy thing from hospital administrators is, oh, fix a problem, just have the doctors do more education in their evenings, in their weekends, get a faster turnaround time. We want you to sign your electronic medical records, you know, after hours, so the reports are done for the next day as well. You know, our EMRs and our PACs and our RISs are all clunky. And the vendors, I think, really need to be stepping up to the plate with that and, you know, really thinking about making these systems more user-friendly. But they are in a dilemma because this is so highly, highly regulated a space as well. And so there's a massive amount of bureaucracy on top of this. And I think you add to this, you know, the last almost 3 years now of us working in a pandemic world, just the little things of, you know, being in the reading room with your colleagues, to be able to joke around, you know, walk to the coffee machine together, have lunch together. And so, you know, a lot of us have turned into just real worker bees as well. And you add to that the volumes that, you know, we've already talked about as well. So I see this as a huge, huge problem. Certainly in our own practice, you know, a lot of our faculty are just feeling this. And I think that, you know, the easy things you read on the web about, oh, just eat healthier and do more yoga, I mean, that doesn't get to the root problems as well. I think there's got to be a real commitment from practice leaders and institutional leaders to say, number one, this is real. Simply saying, suck it up. You know, sure, that works if there's a train wreck and suddenly people need to work an extra shift or two, but it doesn't work on a sustained basis as well. And so I think this is really going to be far, the fixes here are going to be far beyond just radiology. I think our institutions need to be driving this. I think the institutions that are sensitive to this that create better workplaces are going to find that they're actually much more successful in recruiting, and other places are going to have to step up to pace in the marketplace. And you know, I think as well, we are so regulated a world. I think, you know, our regulators, our government are going to have to step into this and say, you know, it's easy to proclaim, do this, click, do that, have the Joint Commission say, drop your turnaround times and things like that for, you know, when you sign things. But those decisions all have consequences. And so this has got to be everybody's skin in the game. I don't have any quick solutions, but it is real and it scares me a lot.
It is definitely a huge problem, and it is, it's definitely an endemic to medicine. And I'm actually very optimistic about potential solutions, given how organized medicine has addressed this. I think in the last decade, you know, a lot of work has been done to really study and highlight this in several institutions. There is wellness officers. There is a momentum. There is a movement. We're not done yet, but you know, we're really recognizing the issue. And as Dr. Duzek mentioned, this is, it stems from the daily work. You know, there's been kind of like mission creep as imaging became more complex. There's more roles that radiologists address, whether it's, pressure demands for productivity or efficiency or higher level of care, non-interpretive issues that we have to deal with, and other roles and being consultants and communication and all that kind of stuff, and regulatory pressures. With that demand and all that pressure, burnout has grown. And that study, for full disclosure, I'm a collaborator of Dr. Schick, and I'm also on the Radiology Research Alliance for AUR. We're working on a task force on burnout as well and wellness. It's a seminal study because it showed how widespread this issue is. As we've alluded here, you know, there is institutional level strategies, and then there is individual level strategies. It doesn't matter, you know, how much yoga or how much, sleep and all that kind of stuff that Dr. Duzek just mentioned on the individual level, if the entire system is not supportive of that. And a lot of, you know, whether it's supportive, just a work-life balance, social aspects of it, administrative support to deal with the issues that we're dealing with. And it's the reward for that is important, because on the other end, from an employer's perspective, this not only helps with recruitment, as was mentioned, but also the longevity, retaining folks, productivity, and job satisfaction. As I said, there is no panacea for this, but I think as medicine as a whole looks into this and we approach that as a comprehensive approach, both at the individual level and organizational level, I think we can definitely address that.
I think the last question I have is, what is currently being done to increase the awareness of the radiology field, the medical students? And from your viewpoint, what additional steps could be taken?
Jeff, great that you sort of bring us back full circle, because I think in your first question, Mina and I both talked a little bit about the pipeline. So yeah, I think let's pull in that thread a little bit more. I think there's a lot of opportunities that we have here. Certainly here at Emory, we have had some of our faculty, and it does come at a cost to us, both in time and effort and pulling folks off the clinical schedule. You know, Stefan Tigges, for example, one of my colleagues of cardiothoracic imager, has been for many years the lead in our first year medical student anatomy course. So, you know, our medical students from day one are introduced to a practicing radiologist, and who better to teach anatomy than the people who basically look at, you know, all sorts of anatomic studies every day. I did just visit, visiting professor recently, another institution, where actually interesting, the old Department of Anatomy, like that was existed when I went to medical school, is actually a division within their Department of Radiology. They have PhD anatomists that are teaching things. So I think there's a lot of opportunities for us as departments structurally to get engaged in there. We certainly have here at Emory a radiology a medical student interest group as well. And I think those are things that, you know, easy to say when we're all busy, we're all burned out. But giving talks to those students, helps enrich the field moving forward. And I think we need to be very deliberate as practicing radiologists in our academic settings, that when the medical students are on the rotation, to not be sitting there and complaining about this and that, and, you know, remind them that, you know, despite all the issues we're dealing with, this is still an amazing specialty that continues to, you know, really contribute positively to patient care. And my final thing I'd like to highlight is an initiative of the American College of Radiology, the PEERS program, the Pipeline Initiative for Enrichment of Radiology. And certainly some departments like my own at Emory have invested in this. But basically, it's a program targeted towards underrepresented students in medical school to get them paired up with mentors and sponsors early along in radiology, get them introduced to what it is we do. And so I think that's also good for some of the disparities within our workforce. But I think also as well, I think it's a model for all of us to say, every time I interact with an early medical student, to give the smiling pitch of, hey, you're thinking about radiology. I think every one of us needs to be ambassadors for the future of the specialty that's been so good to us during our careers.
Absolutely. So, Jeff, basically, early exposure to radiology has been shown to be the most efficacious way to address this awareness issue that we're having. And really, it starts with medical school first year anatomy and other classes. And a lot of schools now have integrated imaging in their curricula. There's also widespread radiology interest groups that have popped up across the country. And obviously, there is clinical rotations. I think, you know, another effort that's more organized at a higher level is that, you know, most radiology organizations now have medical student sections in addition to the resident and fellow sections. And then many also have targeted sessions during national meetings that have speakers, you know, target issues related to medical students and, you know, the specialty as a whole and answering the questions and explaining what radiology is. You know, certainly significant strides have been made, but there is still more room to grow. I think we should continue this momentum by, you know, continued outreach and engagement. I think we should reach the students at their level and the social media avenues and that they use a lot. There's a huge medical student population on Twitter and Instagram, and many radiologists and institutions have pages and groups and have interactive cases that they share and all that kind of stuff. I think there are some misconceptions out there, and some of these may be hurting us. For instance, you know, some students may be swayed by, you know, artificial intelligence and how that's occasionally portrayed in the media as a negative force or a threat to radiology. I'm personally very optimistic on the role of artificial intelligence and how that could augment us rather than replace us. And, you know, sometimes, you know, students may not know the full picture, what the extent of it or what the, you know, current applications or what we're looking forward to building up upon.
I'd like to thank Dr. Duzak and Dr. Macri for sharing their insights on emerging trends in the radiology workforce. I'd also like to thank the listeners for joining us today in the reading room, the Diagnostic Imaging Podcast. As always, visit diagnosticimaging.com for the latest in radiology news.